Phone lines are open. You've got questions. We've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. Any question under the sun, anything you want to talk to me about, biblical, theological, political, cultural, doesn't matter, personal, spiritual life, Israel, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. This is part of our ongoing mission to help get the church healthy and to infuse you with faith and truth and courage. We do it on this day by answering your questions on a wide range of subjects. Also, remember, every single week we send out an email at the end of the week with all the videos we put out for the week, all the articles we put out. This will keep you equipped. This will keep you on the front lines. If you're not getting it, go to thelineoffire.org and just click subscribe today. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go to the phones, I want to ask a question. Why do people get so riled up when you tell them that Jesus actually changes people when he saves them? Why is it that some people who hold to an extreme form of once saved, always saved, saying that there are no works involved in salvation, which I agree with, salvation is a free gift, but that if you say that the fruit of salvation will be works, if the fruit of salvation will be a changed life, people go berserk on you. Why is that? I just noticed on one of our social media pages that one gentleman weighed in with post after post after post. That's what got my attention, calling me a heretic and a liar, that I wasn't saved because it's faith is not a work. And if you preach works, you're not saved. It's like, well, hang on. So you're telling me that my preaching is not going to disqualify me. Doesn't that mean that a work can disqualify me? Isn't that the opposite of just being justified by faith? Or if it's all by faith, which it is, what if you don't believe anymore? Then how do you work that out? Or if it's all a gift, why do you have to believe? So yes, let's preach the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God. Let's preach grace until we can't preach it anymore. Let's just preach it biblically. Jesus changes you. When he saves you, he changes you. You come from death to life, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, from being under the power of sin to coming under the power of righteousness, from being a slave of Satan to now being a slave of righteousness, where you live to do the will of God. That's it. It's simple. If you say, I'm going to do my thing and live how I want to do, how I live, that's up to you, but you're not saved. Why do people get so exercised over that? It's wild. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start in Canada. Dylan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hello, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
I'm a first-time caller, so I'm a little bit nervous here on the call.
Just the two of us talking, having a little chat.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I'm sort of debating with a friend of mine who Melchizedek is, and I want to read to you Hebrews chapter 7, verse 3, mm-hmm. in particular, verse 3. And I want to explain to you my friend's exegete of that verse. And sure. I'd like to get your take on it. Okay, so I'm reading from the ESV. So Hebrews 7, verse 3 says, he was without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days or end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues as a priest forever. So if someone were to say Melchizedek was some sort of a angel or heavenly being that because Melchizedek never had a father or mother, what would be your response to that? Because to me, that seems like that's a little bit extrapolating the text. How would you see that?
Right. Well, you could understand why someone would come to that conclusion. Then you're saying that he wasn't a mortal. Was he an angel in human form? The only time that happened in a lasting way was destructive with the fallen angels. So the bigger question is really, they're one of two ways to read it. It is true, by the way, that in Dead Sea Scrolls, Melchizedek is an exalted figure, a heavenly figure, almost a divine figure. But exegetes understand this one of two ways, Dylan. Either that this was the Son of God incarnate, that this was the Word made flesh in human form in Melchizedek, that he himself was an incarnation, that this was a Christophany or a theophany, that this was God appearing for a brief time in human form and then disappearing. And that's who Melchizedek was. He comes and he goes, and it was just actually like God visiting Abraham in human form in Genesis, the 18th chapter. So this is actually a Christophany, a divine appearance. The other way of reading it is that these are figures of speech. In other words, in the Bible, it doesn't mention his father and mother. It doesn't mention his genealogy. It doesn't say when he was born. It doesn't say when he died. So in that sense, he's a priest forever. And it's just metaphorical. So commentators are actually, scholars are divided between them. But to say that he was an angelic being, well, now that's another species. Unless you're just saying it was angelic being appeared for a moment and was gone, right? That, you know, you entertained an angel that didn't know it. So he was just an angel walking around us. That's possible, but is this angel a continuing priest? Obviously not. So either it's the Son of God making a brief appearance on the earth in the person of Melchizedek, which some scholars hold to, I don't, or he is a prototype. He is a prototype as if without beginning, end, and thus a continuing priest as Jesus is.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for the explanation. I really appreciate that.
Yep, you are very welcome. 866-348-7884. By the way, sometimes I'll tell you on the end of the week that the moment we start our show, every phone line is jammed from beginning to end. It's very hard to get through. Sometimes we have some open lines. So one of these days we have some open lines. If you've been trying to get through and it's been hard for you, this is a great time to call 866-348-7884. Let's go to Richard in Louisiana. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I had a question about the afterlife. I kind of believe I'm living in the afterlife a little bit, and paying for sins that I've made.
Explain. And you feel like you're some kind of reincarnation, you mean?
I don't know if I'm a reincarnation. I just feel like life kind of shifted over into a different mode of being, and I think I see people that have passed on in my life, and feel like I'm being led to something. I don't know what. Maybe I'm fighting things, and I've called you before, and
yeah, I remember. The moment you started talking, I remember. Richard, tell me what you think about the Bible.
I think it's the Word of God. I think.
Okay, so then what you're saying is impossible. In other words, the Word of God is very clear that we live in this world, and after that is the judgment. So there is no afterlife in this world. There is no reincarnation. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, and again, remember, Richard, I've really encouraged you. You need to get into a local church and sit down with some of the leaders and get these things sorted out. I know you struggle, but I can't help you with a two-minute answer on the radio, as you've called before. And really, from the heart, please get into a local church. If you don't know where to go, I mean, there's a whole bunch in Louisiana, but just someone that preaches the Bible, believes it's God's word, and meet some genuine Christians there and say, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Let them show you what it means to be saved. Let them show you what it means to start a new life. Let them show you what it means to be forgiven and to really overcome these things that you're struggling with, because there's something fundamentally amiss, and this is nothing to put a Band-Aid on, fundamentally amiss that has to get fixed. And again, for those just tuning in, say, why are you so brief? We've talked before, and I understand the depth of the problem, and there's no way I can help from this distance. There's some real serious issues that need to be dealt with. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Mark in Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I follow you on Twitter, and I've responded a few times, and I appreciate your ministry. I've recognized it for many years. I wanted to see if you would, or what your articulation might be in sharing the difference between Christian nationalists, as we're all being labeled by the left, as if we are some militant group to impose Christianity on society. The difference between that and those of us who just love God and love America and want to continue to influence politics in America as we would expect any other religion to do.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I think you know where I'm going, and I understand that, and I've tried to articulate it online, and I would love to hear you do it, and I'd love to see you do something online with that.
Yes, there is. So great, great question, sir. Here's where you go online. It is NAR and ChristianNationalism.com. NAR, okay. So NAR and ChristianNationalism.com. We have a whole statement there. We lay out this so-called New Apostolic Reformation, what it believes in, where we don't believe that, the contrast. And then we lay out the difference between a healthy Christian nationalism and an unhealthy Christian nationalism. So I'm pulling this up right now. Just, there we go. So NARN Christian nationalism, you click on the statement. So it first goes through what we affirm about apostolic ministry, what we differ with, what we see as true, what we see as dangerous. And then we get into statements regarding, quote, Christian nationalism, starting with, we recognize that for some, this simply refers to a healthy form of Christian patriotism, of loving God and loving one's country. In that sense, the term is benign. We also recognize that some media outlets put the worst construction on our words, take us out of context, falsely associate us with dangerous fringe groups. I go with all that. I lay out healthy things and say we reject as unbiblical the belief that America's a uniquely chosen nation like Old Testament Israel. We categorically and unequivocally deny any affiliation with or connection to that form of Christian nationalism, which speaks of a potential Christian uprising against the government, etc. So that is the place to go, sir. NAR, N-A-R, and ChristianNationalism.com. And you'll read through the things we affirm, the things we denounce. We see it as spiritually dangerous when we wrap the gospel in the American flag. So that'll help articulate things. What you're saying is so important because you love Jesus, you love your country. You want to have a positive influence in the Democratic Republic and use your beliefs? You're a Christian nationalist, as if we're all white supremacists, insurrectionists trying to overthrow the government. NAR and Christian nationalism. Thank you for the question.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Would you like to know a way to support strong hair and nail growth? A way to support healthy skin and a healthier gut? Well, it is no longer a secret. I would like to introduce Trivita's Multicollagen, a pure hydrolyzed collagen peptide. Multicollagen has five types of collagen that support your body in so many ways. It is abundant in amino acids, gluten-free, and hormone-free. Here's a testimony from a happy user of Trivita's Multicollagen.
A friend introduced me to Trivita's Multicollagen about 2 years ago. I was really excited to try it. I had noticed that as I was getting older, I was losing a lot of hair, and my nails and skin were not as healthy as they used to be. After a few weeks of taking Multicollagen, I noticed a really big difference. My hair loss was almost none. My nails were growing quickly, and my skin was much healthier. It's so easy to take, too. I just add a scoop in my morning coffee every day. Multicollagen is the one supplement that I will never give up. Thank you, Trivita.
Now you can say goodbye to dull hair, brittle nails, and tired-looking skin. True beauty and optimal health starts within you.
Support thicker hair, healthier nails, and supple skin. Trivita's multi-collagen really works. Try it for yourself by calling 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. And know that a significant portion of your first order will go to help the Line of Fire radio broadcast. So call now, 1-800-771-5584, 1-800-771-5584, or online at trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, let me encourage you to check out what our co-sponsor, Trivita, is doing. They've been a real blessing to our radio audience, a real blessing to me. They've got some great wellness products, great supplements, and they donate 100%. Of the first order right back to the ministry to help us get on more stations and more than tithe of all subsequent orders. So if that's of interest to you, you can call 800-771-5584. Tell them Dr. Brown sent you. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to an anonymous caller. You are on the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Appreciate your time, sir.
Thanks.
So I have a street preaching ministry, enjoy it very much. Been ministering with these guys, and everything seemed fine, and then I was horrified to learn that, to find anti-Semitism, and not only that, but Holocaust denying.
Street preachers?
Yeah. Yep.
Whoa.
And they don't bring that garbage to the street, but, you know, what... We were talking in private, and then it came out. I was comparing abortion to the Holocaust, and they're like, "Oh, I don't believe that stuff." And I was like, "What are you kidding me?" And so obviously pushed back on that. Now I'm trying to, I'm not a historian or anything, and they've got their arguments and stuff, and just trying to find a way to refute this nonsense.
Tell me about the anti-Semitism.
Well, it. You know, it's real conspiratorial, talking about, like, the Masons, you know, that at the top is led by, like, the rich Jewish families, like the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and they're controlling everything, banks, media, that sort of thing, you know, and they made up the whole idea of the Holocaust for their own agendas, to one, to overshadow, like, the Holodomor and the horrors of communism, and to, you know, to bring about the Jewish state, all this nonsense. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it comes from.
All right. So do you have my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood?
No, but I've been meaning to get it.
Yeah, get it. Get the 2019 edition. It's not a lot in there about Holocaust denial at all, you know, because, again, it's such a fringe, radical, extreme, complete based on ignorance, lies, misreporting, misconception. Right. You know, it's like, prove that Santa Claus doesn't exist. Go ahead and prove it. You know, so when somebody is believing in a myth like Holocaust denial, and to disprove them, they don't listen to regular sources. They don't care about the archival evidence. They don't care about all the witnesses. They don't care about the massive population. You know, what happened? There were 3.3 million Jews in Poland before the Holocaust. Afterwards, there was 0.3 million. What happened to the other 3 million, you know? And what?
Yeah.
So facts don't matter because they're believing in a myth. But
well,
this
primary,
will give you...
The primary thing they say is, like, about the showers and that it couldn't have carried that Zyklon B and things like that.
That's all meaningless.
Right.
That's 100% factually false. There is zero scholarship, zero support of that whatsoever. It's just ignorant people spouting ignorant things. That's what I'm saying. To fight it with facts is almost secondary. And by the way, if people held those views, if they're not open to change, I would separate in a hurry. Even if it makes you by yourself, I would separate in a hurry. That is toxic. That is garbage. That is destructive. They are on the side of the devil with that. So whatever they do is going to have an ugly mixture. That's just reality. But Our Hands Are Stained with Blood is essential reading. It will help you to see the demonic nature of anti-Semitism, help you see where it's coming from, what its roots are, what some of the common lies are that come up in generation after generation. And I'm just there's one book you may just want to look at if you want to do academic study. It's called Denying the Holocaust. Denying the Holocaust. The author is Deborah Lipstadt, L-I-P-S-T-A-D-T. Denying the Holocaust, The Growing Assault on Truth and Memory. So she's a top scholar in this. But you know the thing that's so wild is that the same people denying the Holocaust today are also downplaying the reality of October 7th. Oh, well, Hamas didn't really rape. Oh, well, they didn't behead anybody. Oh, they didn't kill any children. It's the same deal. It's the same spirit. It's that same denial. So here's something that happens in right now in front of our eyes with the terrorists initially broadcasting what they're doing. You know, they were so celebratory. They're posting all this stuff and putting it out, their own atrocities. I saw the footage, 47 minutes put together by the IDF, where you actually see the killing of maybe one-tenth of the 1,300 that were killed that day, or 1,300 that were killed that day. You see the killing of about 130-something of them actually over the course of this horrific, devastating video. And so we know it. We know what happened. We know the hostages are still there, etc. And people did not, well, Hamas wouldn't do that, they wouldn't do that, and it's Israel, it was friendly fire, it's false flags. And so people are going to say what they say. And the best thing for you is to understand where it's coming from, because it has nothing to do with truth. It has nothing to do with facts. It has nothing to do with information. It has to do with biases and lies. So my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, the 2019 edition, is a devastating read but necessary. We'll give you insight into the reality of anti-Semitism. And then to get a larger grasp on what's happening, read Denying the Holocaust by Deborah Lipstadt. Those would be great resources for you, okay?
All right. Hey, appreciate your time, Dr. Brad. For the record, I don't preach at them anymore, and it's about two or three out of the nine guys that go out. And so I don't minister with them anymore. And, I'm praying about, like, should I talk to his pastor and try and, you know, is this a church discipline type issue?
Well, if those folks are part of a local church and they're espousing these things, unless the pastor agrees with it, I would just sit down and say, hey, I got an issue here. I'm really concerned because this stuff is toxic. This is toxic and it's from the devil. So, and it's only going to hurt the other guys. And it's a shame because as a street preacher, you're making certain sacrifices. You're going against the grain. It takes a certain courage and a certain kind of person to do it. So I'm commend these guys for wanting to be on the streets and take the hatred that comes their way. But this toxic stuff will pollute everything they do and will change the spirit of who they are. So those two or three can pollute the other six or seven.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, thanks, brother, for your time. I do appreciate it. That was helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. 866-348-7884. You know, if there are actual factual things to argue where someone says, I was taught 2 and 2 is 5. It's okay. So let's look. How many there? 1, 2. Okay, let's count these. How many there? 1, 2. 2 plus 2. Let's count 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. But when you're dealing with myths, when you're dealing with nonsense, but look at the footnotes. The so-called historians have been destroyed. They have been debunked. And when you are living witnesses to the devastation and Europe witnessed it together, the horrors, the atrocities, and Nazis were so meticulous. I've been in the museums where you see all the records kept in it, the meticulous nature of all of it. And if you've ever seen some of the video footage, the devastating video footage when Allies were first coming in, not just the emaciated bodies, but the piles of corpses. Or you read just some of the firsthand accounts of the survivors. Oh, gosh. So devastating, so overwhelming. One of the most atrocious things ever done by human beings in the history of the world. And then the denial of it is adding to the evil. So may God's truth prevail. And if you haven't read my book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, it's an eye-opener. It's in many ways the most important book I've written out of almost 50 now. It's unique in that regard, and it's been translated into many languages. And by God's grace, it's had a real impact. If you haven't read it, make sure you get the new edition, the 2019 edition. It'll change your life as you read it. All right, we'll be right back. Got one phone line open. No, not even that, but try to call. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We go back to the phones in Minnesota. Jill, thanks for calling.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Hello. My question was about the inclusive translation of the Bible, and I'm having trouble. I've looked and looked. I'm just not seeing much about it online or even where I look to see if you've ever addressed it. So I didn't know what your thoughts were, if you're familiar with the Inclusive Bible.
So that's the actual name of it, Inclusive Bible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are, all right, here we go. The Inclusive Bible. It's translated by the modern English that aims to let the power and poetry of the language shine forth, especially when read aloud. It contains both the Old and New Testament. Some Christians consider it an important book that challenges the sexism and hierarchy in the traditional scriptures, while others may cite verses from the Bible that affirm the inclusion of all peoples in Christ. The Inclusive New Testament is part of the Inclusive Bible that has a readable and welcoming layout and typeface and was published in 19... 96. Interesting. Okay, so let's just see here. The Inclusive Bible, the First Egalitarian Translation, Fresh Dynamic, that's a 2009. So I'm just looking on Amazon mm-hmm. here. So there are translations that are more, quote, gender neutral. Mm-hmm. There are translations. There's been, like, the Queen James Bible came out years ago, which is just the King James with a few verses changed. There have been gay and lesbian works. I've had those for years, but there are different titles on them.
Okay.
There have been adaptation of other verses here and there. But there are actual changes to the language to now be, quote, more accommodating. Now, just to think this through for a split second. When you have, say, when the Greek says adelphoi, which is literally brothers, adelphos is mm-hmm. brother. So brothers, many translations will say brothers and sisters, because when you said brothers, that's what you meant. You weren't just talking to the men. So I'm from New York. You say, hey guys. It could be one man and three women, but you say, hey guys, because guys is generic. So when you're I was once in Alabama. I said, all right, all the guys in the front row stand up, and the men did. I said, no, I meant everybody, but I was in Alabama. They didn't, you know, that was a different expression for them. So is it right now to say brothers and sisters instead of brothers? Okay, fine, mm-hmm. because that's what it actually would have meant in Greek. It's not compromising. It's not being gender fluid or gender neutral or anything like that. But there are other things that are outright changes. And I would assume that this Inclusive Bible is some of that. So do you have any specific verses, anything like that you've seen?
You know, I can't find the version of the Bible online except to buy it, which I haven't done.
Yeah.
That's what
I'm looking at.
Yeah,
even the Kindle is $25.99 just for the Kindle. Got it.
Uh-huh. Yes, it was causing some confusion, I think, at our church because of the word inclusive, and just how instead of husband or wife, it might say partner or spouse. And so people are concerned because there are some people at our church with the Inclusive Bible. That are they going to be teaching Sunday school to our children, and what are they, you know, like, are they going to be watering down what we know?
You know, there's no legitimate reason. Just using what you said, for example, partner or spouse instead of husband and wife, they have now mm-hmm. changed the Bible in a fundamental way. So for example, when you say Adam in Hebrew, God created man. Adam. Well, Adam can mean man. Adam can mean humankind. Adam can mean Adam, the man, right? The person mm-hmm. himself. So when God says, not say Adam, but Salman and Kibutano in Genesis 1, let us make man after our in our image according to our likeness. All right, well, man there contains actually male and female. So if you say it's really mankind or humankind, I'm fine with that. You haven't changed it. If you change man to humankind, that's perfectly legitimate because that's what God was saying. However, if you change husband and wife to partners, spouse, hey, sounds like you got your hands full there. So is that a little boy or girl there?
Yeah, little boy, 2 months old.
Just 2 months. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Great.
Thank you.
There's nobody in a sound church should have an Inclusive Bible if it contains what you're saying and the way the write-up is. It is now fundamentally changing what Scripture is saying, because the only couple that God is addressing in Ephesians 5 is a husband and a wife. It is not two mm-hmm. men. It is not two women. It is not you and your partner. If it's outside of marriage, it's fornication. If it's not one man and one woman, it's not marriage. If it's two men or two women, it's not marriage. And none of the verses make any sense in terms of the specific roles and nature and who we are. So there's no justification for it. And I would want to know why those people. And that's one thing. I've got a massive library of stuff I don't agree with. And mm-hmm. I buy that stuff all the time so I can know what people are saying and understand their viewpoint. and then respond to it and be able to minister to them. But I don't bring that, you know, I own the Queer Bible Commentary. I don't use that for my devotional time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've got gay translations of the New Testament. I don't read the word. I wouldn't bring that to a service with me. So that's the thing. Why on earth would a true believer, unless you're in a church that leans progressive liberal and has some dangerous tendencies, which is a big problem already, why on earth would they have a Bible like that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the concern is that they were allowed church membership, and the Bible's carried around very visibly, saying the Inclusive Bible, pretty large on the front, you know. So I think that was some concern.
Yeah, well, it's for valid reasons. How many people in your congregation?
I would say 400 to 600.
All right, and if I was there, would I be comfortable with what's being preached?
You would. We had one guest or interim pastor preach that the gifts have ceased for today. And so obviously we didn't agree with that. That was his last Sunday as an interim, and then he left.
Got it. But in other words, in terms of the fundamentals of the faith, in terms of marriage, family, standards, that it's orthodox in that respect.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be good just... Look, if someone's brand new, they're a genuine believer, and they're brand new, and they're ignorant of certain things, and you just want to help them, or they don't realize, because there may be some good stuff in the Bible mixed in with all the bad stuff, you know, that's one thing. But I would definitely ask the pastor about it and just say, hey, I have a concern here, or someone on the leadership team, and say, I'm not out to hurt people. I want to help them. But, you know, if I saw someone carrying the New World Translation, you know, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, which is a terrible translation, and they were bringing it, it's like, okay, why are you bringing that? It's a bad translation. It's not what we're preaching out of. Why do you have that? Why are you reading from it? I'd be concerned about their own soul or what their agenda is. So totally valid. And now you've got me curious. I got to find out more about this Inclusive Bible. Hey, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. 866-34 Truth. Let's go to Sam in Minnesota. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I just wanted to tell you before I, because I don't want to sound like I'm trying to school you by any means. I think you're the finest theologian that we have today. And I have listened to many of your debates. They have helped me so much in various things that I don't have the expertise or the time. I pastor a church, you know, various subjects, you know, Calvinism and various, and the grace that you're able to, it just amazes me, you know. And I don't have that quality. I can get a little intense, you know, that kind of thing. So anyway, so that being said, I don't want you to think in any way that I'm trying to school you, but I think that you may be missing something on the Trump prophecies.
Yeah, please go ahead. I'm all ears.
There's several ways for someone that's prophesying, you know, to hear from God. I mean, God can speak any way he wants to. And an audible voice is, I suppose, unusual. I wouldn't say that it's a more mature way. In fact, it might even be a less mature way to hear from God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I can tell, it can also be demonic. My thing is this: the Trump prophecies that fell, the reason it was so strong for me was long about that time. I had the same before the election. I was one of the very few that told my people, this may not happen the way that you want it to. And I had several people say, there's too many prophecies out there. And I said, you've got to be careful with that, you know, and so forth. Well, there's different ways the person could false prophesy. They could be a false prophet, an absolute false prophet. Most of the time, it's out of their vain imagination, their own imagination. There's a scripture that talks about that. God had rebuked some prophetesses that were, you know, prophesying out of their own imagination. But there's also a prophetic word that comes either through a strong vision or audibly. And I don't have time. Boy, I'd love to talk to you for about 30 minutes. something that happened to me in that same realm where I had heard the audible voice of God. There's no way that it could be true, but I knew it was God's voice, and it cost me dearly for a while until it was deemed that, you know, that what this person had said was not going to come true. And when I met with them, they admitted that it was from an audible voice. Well, after that, it took the Lord and me a long time to figure out what had happened. And he turned me one morning about 4 o'clock in the morning to Chronicles. It's found in King Chronicles. You know about the lions?
Yeah, Micaiah. Yes, absolutely. So that God sent a lying spirit into the mouths of the prophets.
Let me tell you, what Micaiah heard, the Lord showed me that this is what was going on. Some of these prophecies, I don't know which preachers, that's not the point, but the point is some of these preachers may have heard from a lying spirit. And if that's the case, because when I questioned God, someone questioned me, and they said, well, how do you know that's God? And I know the inward voice. Well, I said, you know, that's a good question. And in a few minutes, I thought, well, what keeps me from hearing? You know, I don't hear the audible voice of God all the time. Don't get me wrong. But what would keep me from hearing from life? And the Lord just whispered to my spirit, that's protected. Well, that got me to questioning, why is it protected? And why was it not protected in these people, if that's what happened? So, in my opinion, it is important to find out how they heard this voice. You know, most...
Tell you what, hey, I got to jump in. I'm going to give you my thoughts on the other side of the break, okay? But you're very kind and very gracious and very gentle in approaching things. I appreciate that. There are a whole lot of better theologians out there than me, but thank you. Thank you for the kind words. I'm glad we could be a blessing to you. I do believe some people were deceived by Satan directly in terms of why they prophesied falsely. I absolutely believe that.
I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health, and I want to introduce you to Trivita's multi-collagen formula. If there was ever a message I would want the world to hear, it would be about the importance of supplementing the body with its most abundant protein, known as collagen. Studies have shown multiple health benefits by supplementing with collagen. Trivita's multi-collagen formula does not have just one or two types of collagen, or even three, but five forms of collagen shown to support healthy tendons, ligaments, skin, hair, nails, bones, muscles, gut lining, and even the arteries and veins. Trivita did not stop there. Each of the five forms of collagen in Trivita's multi-collagen formula are hydrolyzed, which increases maximum absorption. Trivita's multi-collagen formula is an easy dissolving powder that can be added to your favorite beverages and even soups in your favorite recipes. Each serving of Trivita's multi-collagen formula provides 9 grams of protein, is gluten-free, GMO-free, hormone-free, and sourced from grass-fed bovine, cage-free chickens, and even wild-caught fish. And you can rest assured that Trivita's multi-collagen formula is manufactured right here in the United States of America.
To place your order for products to support your wellness goals, call 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584, or online at Trivita.com. As a Trivita introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 and receive a 25% discount on the products of your choice. That number again is 1-800-771-5584, 800-771-5584.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. Again, if you're not getting my monthly frontline newsletter, it is inspirational, it is informational, it is impartational, from the Hebrew word study of the month to powerful message to great testimonies. Go to thelineoffire.org and click on subscribe. So, Sam, I just want to share this with you from my book, The Political Seduction of the Church, right? The Political Seduction of the Church, which came out a couple years ago and is super relevant right now. I say this, talking about the failed Trump prophecies. Ironically, there is only one instance in the Bible where all the prophets said the same thing at the same time, guaranteeing a godless king, Ahaz, a major military victory. So I talk about this, that there was a deceiving spirit sent out. So I believe some people prophesied Trump's reelection, that he would serve 8 consecutive years, because, and it's not to say he won't be reelected in 2024, it's a separate issue, but it's because that's what they want it to happen. They prophesied out of their own heart and mind. Others did it because they succumbed to peer pressure. They wanted to be in the know. Everybody else was saying it that they knew, so they said it. Others were in deception for many other reasons, and this just added to it. They wanted a seat at the table. They wanted some power or influence. And others definitely came under a spirit of demonic deception. I have no question about that because of the numbers that got it wrong. There are other factors, but I list them. And the fact you mentioned is something I did actually mention in the book as a real possibility of what happened. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I've heard God speak to me endless times, as many have in your own heart and mind, and you know it's God, and it's clearly been proven to be God and definitely God and tested by the Word, the fruit's been born, etc. I've never heard the audible voice of God. I have some colleagues that say that they hear the audible voice of God frequently, and they're word-based, they're solid, they're Jesus-loving, they live godly lives, they're accountable, humble. So I see the fruit in their lives. I leave that between them and God. But for sure, when someone is saying they had this unusual revelation type experience and the end result of it is deception, then obviously you look at the whole experience versus being led by God as we walk with him. Hey, appreciate the observations, sir. Let us go over to Thomas in Florida. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Glad to be here, Dr. Brown.
Thanks.
By the way, you've got decent taste in music with Skeleton.
Come on. Last time I heard from John Cooper was this morning. Yeah, what a dear brother. We're dear friends, and they're rocking it and lifting up Jesus.
Yeah, I was calling to ask you questions regarding, like, the Once Saved, Always Saved documentary, the topic of the hour. And
okay.
I watched it, and there was a lot that I'd agree with, more than I was expecting. But at the same time, I'd say the most corrosive claim that I found in it was the idea that Jesus only died for your past sins and not your future sins. Which is
No one teaches that.
Let me
clarify. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for asking. Let me clarify.
Yeah.
Jesus died for every sin we've ever committed. Before we were born, he died for all of our sins, correct? The issue is the moment you're born again, what happens? Does God forgive you for every sin you've ever committed and for the sin of your nature? Yes. Does he at that moment pronounce you forgiven for future sins? Of course not. You haven't.
Right.
That's the issue. Mm-hmm. Right. You haven't committed them. Go ahead.
So in other words, forgiveness is available, but not necessarily automatic.
Well, here, it's available to everybody, right? Jesus died for all of our sins before we were saved. But had it been applied to our lives yet? No. If we died in our sins, we were lost, even though Jesus died for us. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
All right. So the moment we're born again, he pronounces us forgiven. And if we blow it anytime thereafter, as his child, it's already been paid for. We just appropriate it. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. We don't have to get saved all again, go back, you get baptized all again.
Yeah.
And then every day we're getting cleansed. Every day, know it or not, we're falling short somewhere. We didn't love God sufficiently. We didn't love so we're constantly being cleansed. The blood of Jesus is always working. But the error we were combating is the error of hyper-grace, that says the moment you're saved,
easy believism, and
well, not just easy believism. Yeah, not just
or,
that.
Cheap grace.
Yeah, yeah, but let me explain what's meant by uniquely hyper grace. This is at the essence and foundation of the error of hyper grace, that the moment you're born again, God pronounces your future sins already forgiven. So, do you ever have to confess sin? No, because it's already forgiven. Will the Holy Spirit ever convict you of sin? No, because it's already forgiven. Some would say you can't do anything to grow in holiness because you've already been made completely holy. Is there anything you could do that could hurt your relationship with God? No, because future sins have already been forgiven. Of course, it's scriptural nonsense. Jesus paid for all of our sins before we were ever born, before we ever lived, right? We lived 2,000 years after the cross. He paid for every sin we could ever commit, ever did commit. But it's appropriated by faith, and we're forgiven for what we've done. It's likened to a debt in Colossians 1. Well, if someone pays off your credit card debt, it's whatever your debt is. You may have a new debt tomorrow. Well, hey, I'll pay it off tomorrow. Each time there's a new, it's all the credit is there. But the debt is not incurred yet, so it's not paid for yet. 2 Peter 1 speaks of someone that's been backslidden. It says they forgot that they were forgiven from their past sins. You're only forgiven for the sins you have committed. So think of this. Just think of this. Someone gets born again. God, I regret the fact I've been miserable. I've been a thief. I beat my wife, neglected my children. Lord, I'm such a wretched person. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. And Lord, also, I plan on committing adultery next week. I've got a bank robbery planned in 2 months. And you know I'm going to keep doing drugs. So thank you for forgiving me for all those already, too. No, that's madness. That's madness. So that's what we were dealing with, Thomas, in that video. But 100%, Jesus died for all of our sins, past, present, future. 100%. All right, let's go back to Canada, where we started. Darlene, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I have a question for you. It has to do with salvation as well.
Yes.
Can you explain to me, is it true that once you're saved, you'll always be saved, you'll always have your salvation?
Right. So tell me what you understand being saved means.
Well, like once you've given yourself, once you've been baptized and you accepted Jesus as your Savior, your sins are forgiven.
Okay.
And then that's what I...
Okay, got it. So does it also include any change of life? In other words, is it simply acknowledging I'm a sinner, I need salvation, forgive me, and now you go on living the same way? Or are you actually born again? Do you start to live a new life?
You start to live a new life. You're born again.
Got it. So if there is no evidence ever of a new life, if someone claimed to be born again and they were living just the same way they lived, the same rebellion, the same sin, the same wickedness, and thinking it was totally fine, you would rightly question whether they're ever truly born again, correct?
Right.
Okay. Obviously, yes. We're not perfect, but there's a change. If anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, they are a new creation. All right. So here's the next question. We agree then that salvation actually saves you, that change actually comes. There are two different ways of looking at this. One way says if God has truly saved you, he's going to keep you, and you will never fall off the path. You may have some ups and downs, but you will never fall off the path. You will never go back to your own life. In other words, he's going to carry you all the way through. So,
right.
And it's impossible to ever turn away. My problem with that, so God has absolutely promised us, without question, Darlene, that he will keep us to the end, that he will finish the work he started in us, that no one can pluck us out of his hand. So I am absolutely secure. You are totally secure in Jesus. You don't have to ever worry about your security in him. However, the question is, Do you have the power to walk away on your own? Do you have the power to say, God, I don't want you anymore? I believe we do. I believe we have the power to turn away, which is why the Word of God warns us in Hebrews 2, that don't drift away, or Hebrews 3, see that there's not an evil heart in departing from the living God. You know, verses like that, or 2 Peter 2, that if we go back to our old ways, it's worse than it was in the first place. So God has promised to keep you safe and sound to the end. You never have to worry about that at all. If someone says, I don't want him anymore, I'm going back to my old ways, and we reject him as Lord, he won't force us to stay in the house. So we are his children. We are his family by grace. On your worst day, when you're nasty, when you didn't pray, when you got a bad attitude, you're still his child. You're still saved because it's by grace. If we reject him and say, I don't want you in my life anymore, I reject you as Lord, I reject your grace, I'm going to live however I want to live, well, then obviously we have the power to leave. So there's great debate, obviously, on this subject, and I've barely touched on it. But my own understanding of Scripture is the idea that no matter what you do, no matter how you live, you're still saved. That's unbiblical. And surely we can rest in God's keeping power without fear, but don't play silly games. Your salvation is nothing to mess with.